From WRKF 89.3 HD in Baton Rouge, this is Insight. I'm Amy Jeffries. BP was to blame. That was U.S. District Judge Carl Barbier's ruling a week ago in the case over the Macondo well disaster. The judge found Transocean, which was operating the Deepwater Horizon rig in 2010, and cement contractor Halliburton at fault, too. But Barbier said BP was guilty of gross negligence. And that could mean that payouts by BP could balloon to $50 billion or more, ultimately. Dr. Jim Richardson, professor of public administration and economics at LSU, is here to explain some of the business implications. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Amy.
So, of course, BP will appeal and the case will continue in court. So is this latest ruling from Barbier a big deal, or is it just another notch in the long timeline?
It is really just a legal issue at this point in terms of how much BP will have to pay in terms of fines and or penalties. In terms of impact on the overall activities on the offshore, that's already been taken care of in the sense of initially, once you had the spill, an accident, you had a moratorium on drilling imposed by the administration. Then they had a delay in terms of issuing permits. So for a while there was this lack of activity in the offshore, which is an extraordinarily productive area for oil and gas, particularly oil, in this country. But now, if you look back at the numbers, the offshore activity is back above where it was 3 or 4 years ago. And indeed, you look at the major participants, you have the Shells, BPs, Chevrons, all the big names in oil and gas. So I think the finding by Judge Barbier is obviously he had to make a decision about the degree of negligence. He made his decision. Obviously, BP disagrees with that decision. They will appeal it because they're arguing it. Their facts do not support that. What he saw, it's a judgment call.
Indeed.
It's a judgment call.
it's a
very expensive judgment call.
Yeah.
And they're going to obviously say, oh, wait a minute, he made the wrong decision. And how far that goes up the line, I assume it will eventually at least be asked to go to all the Supreme Court. And if they decide to take it or not, we do not know. But that's a number of years away.
As an economist, though, how do you look at this ruling? How would you measure its impact over time?
Again, I think the impact will merely be one on, obviously, the cash flow at BP. This will affect their cash flow. It will affect potential payments to stockholders. It will affect possible pay raises for their employees. It will affect possible investments they could have made in other areas. So it will have an impact on them as a company. It will not sink them by any stretch of the imagination. But I think the industry itself, the judge's ruling is just a ruling. They don't want this to happen to them. No other company wants this to happen to them. And I'm sure every company is looking at the decisions that BP made up to the accident and saying, okay, how would I have done that differently? Or in the future, how will I do it differently to make sure it doesn't happen? And BP is doing the same thing. Okay, reassessing their techniques and what would they do differently today if they had the opportunity?
In the wake of the 2010 disasters, companies drilling in the Gulf, they now have to buy into a co-op for emergency well containment equipment. That was a new thing that came as a response to that disaster in order to prevent further disasters or safeguard against it anyway. And there are more stringent requirements for things like blowout preventers. And that's all kind of changed the game, right? Explain a little bit how that has changed, kind of who can operate in deep water, and maybe how it affects the business model overall for drilling.
Well, I think first it makes it a little bit more expensive, but obviously more expensive in the sense of the cost will be a little higher, but it's not sufficiently high to say we're not going to drill out there, because that's still a very, very productive area. Productive in terms of the reserves are substantial. Also, in terms of the stability, it's not like drilling off the coast of Africa where there are instability issues with governments, or even off the coast of Argentina, or off the coast of Brazil, or off the coast of China, where you may have other issues instability issues that would bother you. This is a very stable governmental environment. You know the rules. They don't change dramatically. And what happens in that situation, that even though it's a little more costly possibly, they're going to drill there because, again, the payoffs are huge.
Kind of to your point, I was talking with Chris John the other day. He's the president of the Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association, otherwise known as LMOGA. And he said, yeah, the industry in general looks at the Gulf and said, that is the place to be. This is the place to be. So it makes me wonder, do all these regulations and the mandates for safety actually make for this more stable and therefore, frankly, a more profitable industry overall?
That simple answer is there is a benefit to business of having the regulations in place, because that says that each company knows the rules they have to play by, whereas if there were no rules, I would may want to be very, very careful. But I simply couldn't be that careful because I had my next-door neighbor who's not. And he can reach the oil first, or he can get there before I do. So it's better to have a set of rule book. Now, we can argue over how extensive that rule book should be or what specific rules might be. But it's much better for industry, all the companies, to say, there are rules we have to follow. These are things we have to do, because if we didn't do them, and if indeed we had if this was a once every year event, those offshore, the accidents, we wouldn't drill out there. It wouldn't be worth our while. And people in Louisiana say, I don't care how many jobs it brings. So no, it's much better to have a rule book, and then we go play both of those rules. Now, like I say, we'll debate each of the rules. We'll argue over how extensive it should be, but in the end, for business itself, it's much better to have knowing what are the guidelines that we have to live by, and every company has to live by them.
Jim Richardson, economist at LSU, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Okay, thank you, Nell.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
I'm Amy Jeffries, and this is WRKF.